This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast where we take a look at the week that was in Bates athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we look back on the 40-year coaching career of Bates men's lacrosse head coach Peter Lasagna, who announced his retirement earlier today. In his 22 seasons at Bates, Peter became one of the most highly decorated and admired NESCAC coaches. Plus, the rowing teams shined at the New England Championship in some very difficult circumstances, and the tennis teams conclude their regular seasons with thrilling victories. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The women's rowing team took home the points title Saturday at the New England Rowing Championship, outscoring runner-up Wellesley by nearly 20 points. The second and third varsity eights both won their respective grand finals, while the first varsity eight finished runner-up to Wellesley by less than a second in its grand final. Sophomore stroke Genesis Bussey rose for the 2V, and she joins the Bobcast as our female Bobcat of the week. You're a sophomore now. Tell me a little bit about when you were in high school, what kind of made Bates the place for you?
I was just always super passionate about rowing, and I was also super passionate about academics. And so I wanted to sort of find a place where I can do both, and I don't have to choose between my academic or my athletic success. And I immediately knew that was I was going to find that at a Division III program. And I looked at a lot of D3 schools, but I visited Bates, and I just immediately fell in love with the team and the academic environment and just everything about it. So
you mentioned you were passionate about rowing. When did you start rowing growing up?
I actually took my first learn to row class in the eighth grade. I rowed on the Hudson River at this program called Row New York. It was this program that basically helped inner city kids find their connection to rowing. But then once I spent a year there, I realized that I really was more passionate about the sport and I wanted to go to a more competitive program. So then I went to a club team that I rowed there all throughout high school. So
you're from New York City?
Yes, I am.
Nice. So what was it like growing up there?
Really awesome. I think I just generally love cities. I think I'm more of an independent type of person, so I like being able to find my own transportation places and just kind of like scavenging through the streets sort of is like my kind of MO.
And so coming up to Maine, had you been to Maine before?
I had not.
So what was the experience like transitioning from the big city to Lewiston here?
I would say it was definitely weird at first because I do not have my license and everyone here seems to know how to drive. So going to Walmart or going to like, you know, I was always used to either taking the bus or walking, and even Walmart's a bit of a far walk across the highway. So it was just like, I guess it was hard I was just so used to just going places whenever I wanted to. But it was nice. It's nice to kind of have a different environment, nice to just be in different, out of your comfort zone. So
when you picked up rowing, what made you really want to stick with it? Like what do you enjoy most about it?
I think I really liked, first rowing is just a very unique sport within itself that it just makes you a better person. And I think I've gained a lot of character traits and just a lot of characteristics based on this sport. But I think it was the drive and the team aspect of it. I just really loved that everyone sort of worked together and it wasn't, because I used to swim, so swimming was very much like team, but like you race by yourself, so you were sort of training with everyone, but you were only like really training for your own progress. And I love that rowing was just like everyone's progress, or you know, any individual's progress is everyone's progress. And I just really loved being able to lean on everyone for support and not feeling like I was kind of like on my own in terms of like working or in training and stuff like that.
Great. And then obviously last year is a first year, an interesting, I'm sure, adjustment to college because it was like unlike any other incoming year, right, with COVID and everything. And so I'm thinking this year's probably been a lot better. I mean, just in terms of having a regular normal season kind of, right?
Yeah, no, this year is so much better. I think last year everything was just weird because obviously of COVID. But I think this year everyone is really feeling the team aspect of the sport. I feel like last year everyone was really confused and they kind of looked to upperclassmen, but the upperclassmen didn't really know what was going on either.
Right.
So everyone was just kind of like in the state of like, oh, I don't know what's going on. And so I feel like this year we are still, you know, navigating it all together, but it's more together last year, you know, because of like, you know, the rules and how many people can be in a room together, you know, it was kind of like hard because we had to be like in separate little groups, but now we can really be a team. And I get to see everyone on the team every day, which is just, you know, we're so lucky and I'm so grateful for that. But yeah.
So what's the team like? I mean, dynamic wise, you're in the second varsity eight, but obviously it's a big roster overall.
Yeah. I think I just love the togetherness. I feel like I get to see everyone. I get to talk to everyone. Everyone is just so nice and they're just so inclusive. Honestly, I'm so happy to be a part of this program because it genuinely does not matter where you sit in a boat. Everyone is working together. Everyone is doing the same amount of work. And definitely in the winter, you know, I was at first kind of sad because we would be on the water, and I thought that that would change because I haven't experienced winter season here before. But it was actually like I really enjoyed it because everyone was doing the same amount of work together, and I think that's what makes our program so unique is that everyone is doing everything together, and I think that's what makes us, you know, a really good team.
Were you on the trip to San Diego to start the year?
I was, yes.
What was that trip like for you?
It was super cool. I had been to San Diego in high school, but that was with Sculling and a smaller team, but this team, we were extremely lucky to get to go to San Diego and have 3 8s for the women's team and 6 8s across. Yeah. So I think it was really awesome. The warm weather was really nice, but I think it really set us up for the season.
And so was your high school program, your club, was it fours? Was it eights? How'd that go kind of? And was eights a transition for you at Bates?
Yeah. So my high school team was a lot of Sculling. We weren't a big team. Right. And we also didn't really do eights as much. So we mostly sculled. So it wasn't a big transition because I did know how to sweep in high school. But I think I hadn't really had the whole like boat chemistry. I feel like the boat chemistry is a lot different and the boat feel is a lot different in terms of quads and eights. Quads are just so much more faster because there's just, you know, there's twice the amount of oars and, you know, but I think I really transitioned to loving eights a lot better.
And so you mentioned it doesn't matter what seat you're in, but you have been in the stroke seat all year at the 2B. So what's that like compared to maybe other spots in the boat perhaps?
Yeah, I think stroke seat is a very, it's a very special seat and it's very unique and different because I feel like you get to just feel everything in that seat. You get to feel, I feel like I can just close my eyes and I would know where everyone was at. You know, you could just feel the boat feel. You can just feel the power. And I honestly, you know, stroke seat is a thinking seat. It's very much, you know, you have to think and you have to go off of what other people are telling you. And I love that. You know, I love having to think about every single stroke. I love having to think about what feels good for the boat. I hadn't really been a stroke seat like this much before. So I really loved getting feedback from my teammates. And I think it really helped.
And the 2V, of course, got the first place spot there at New England's, helping the women win the points title there. And take us through that grand final. I believe you got first, and I think Williams was a runner-up, right?
Yes. Yeah. Williams was 2 seconds off of us.
Yeah.
But it was a really great race. I think we had really, last week was our speed week. We had, like, doubles every day, which I think was really key in us getting as much speed as we were able to. I feel like we've been doing a lot of drill work and a lot of things to help us gain a lot of speed, and I think we really showed that in the grand final. I also think as a 2V, as a boat, kind of made the collective decision to just throw it all out there. I think when we got, you know, we obviously believed in ourselves, but nothing is, you know, guaranteed. So we were just, we made the collective decision as a boat to just flip the switch and go and give it all out there because we never know when we get a chance to roll like that again.
Great. And then NIRC is coming up this weekend. I mean, it's probably a pretty similar regatta just because it's the same location,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We're going to be running at the same place, but it's going to be a couple more NESCAC teams because it's also NESCAC champions within itself.
So in terms of, like, you know, what's the practice schedule like this week? What are you guys doing?
A lot of doubles, yeah, I would say, yeah. You know, but we're gonna take advantage of this short-term period because not a lot of schools have short-term the same time that we do. So we're just going to take advantage, and every time that we get to get on the water, we're going to be grateful, and we're going to take advantage of it.
Great. Well, Genesis, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
On the men's side, the Bobcats overcame a rash of illnesses to send 2 boats to the New England Championship. Despite makeshift crews that had never rowed together before, both boats qualified for their grand finals, each finishing a respectable 5th. Male Bobcat of the Week and senior captain Stephen Sparks breaks down all the changes the team had to make including one he himself had to adjust to in the first Varsity 8 boat. Well, Stephen, I understand there were 19 men's rowers who unfortunately could not compete this weekend because of illness. How did you guys adjust?
It was honestly just trusting the guys that coach puts in the boat, but it was a little bit of a scramble. We lost a guy literally right before we got on the bus. So arriving at the race course, we had no idea what the lineups were going to be. But I think we have enough experience and depth, and we showed it this weekend that we could, you know, adjust on the fly and deal with whatever lineups we got.
It's so important to, you know, move cohesively as a unit. And so when there's new guys coming in at the last minute, what adjustments need to be made, if at all?
Yeah, so typically when everyone's healthy, the 1V's stroke per minute is around 38 for our racing. And adjusting with different people in the boat, it can go up or down depending on who you add. So basically, we take a few practice strokes when we're on the water to adjust. But because we had to change the lineup as we're going down, we didn't have those practice strokes to figure everything out. So it was kind of during the race, we could guess where we wanted it to be. But we were actually kind of, you know, figuring it out throughout the race, figuring out that rhythm.
Tell us about the first-year coxswain who stepped up to be the 1V coxswain this weekend.
Yeah, so Rowan Cody, she's a first-year, normally in the third varsity. But totally stepped up. I think the biggest thing for us as the rowers was to give her the confidence and have our put our trust in her. She's very experienced. So we had really no issues switching her in. So we were all just trusting that she'd get us down the course, get us there on time. And I think we approached it in a very healthy and intelligent manner to not put too much pressure on her. And it ended up being really impressive. She had a great showing.
And you had to move to a different seat in the boat, which caused you to have to row on a different side of the boat. Tell us about how that works.
Yeah, so in sweep rowing, which is where you just have one oar, typically you'll go to one side. So port, I go towards the right. And switching to starboard might sound easy, and for some it is, but with minimal experience on starboard side, making that adjustment on race day is wild. I had about like 40 strokes to figure my stuff out before racing at, you know, that 36-38 pace. And really the only difference is rotating out a little bit to a different way and adjusting how you're holding the handle. So your hands really are what apply the pressure to the oar. You know, it's what you hang off of, and that's how you balance the boat, is through your hands, through the oar, and then through your feet and hips. So it was almost like, in some ways it's like riding a bike, but instead of when you turn the handle to go right, you turn the handle right and the wheel goes left this time. So there's some similarities, but it took a little bit of getting used to. But we managed, and you know, everything worked out.
So I know you got fifth in the grand final, but you had to get to the grand final first, right? In a heat. So take us through the heat.
Yeah, so heats, we knew Williams, who was seated ahead of us, was just going to beat us. So we basically ignored them. And to our right was Wesleyan and Hamilton, who we had beaten early on this year by about like 10 seconds. We beat Wesleyan. So we knew we've beaten them before, so we're faster than them. However, with this, you know, four new rowers, one new coxswain, me on a different side, no one knew what was going to happen. We could, you know, crush them like we did before, or they could beat us. We had no clue. But at the same time, that also took the pressure off. There wasn't any expectations, which I think allowed us to sink into our groove more. And we were able to get ahead of them right off the start, which I don't think anyone's really expecting, but is super motivating and allowed us to, you know, stay ahead the entire race.
And then got into that grand final and outraced Trinity, I believe, right?
Yeah. We were behind Trin the majority of the race, but, you know, sticking with them, they got about half a boat length in the first 500 meters, and they didn't move since that. And our coxswain Rowan just keeps telling us, they're just sitting there. Let's make moves, let's take a seat. And we take, a seat slowly at a time. But it wasn't until the last, you know, like 20 strokes in the 200 stroke race where we pulled it even and then got ahead at the last second, which I think we celebrated fifth place super hard. And I think a lot of the crews knew why. Definitely the happiest fifth place crew you'll ever see. just because of the adversity we had to face in getting just to the grand final and then being able to beat Trinity is a huge accomplishment for the guys. You know, 19 dudes out, and we were still able to keep the same seeding with NESCAX. Like, only Williams and Tufts beat us. We were able to beat Trinity, keeping our third rank nationally, which is honestly wild. I don't know if I was quite expecting that. It was definitely a little surprising, but I think we all had a very mature and calm approach to the race, which allowed us to, you know, utilize everything we had and to get to a good spot.
And then obviously you're in the first Varsity 8. The second Varsity 8 was in a similar situation as the 1V was. They had to call up guys from the 4V and the 3V to fill out that boat. I mean, how quick you say about what they were able to do?
Yeah, their race is honestly more impressive than ours. They had, I think everyone was from the 3V except for maybe one or two people where were just from either the 1 or the 2V or the 4V. So it definitely averaged out to be just a 3V boat in a 2V race, which on paper, they should get smoked. But the guys really rose to the occasion. They beat, same as us, beat Wesleyan in the heats, making grand finals. They barely beat Wesleyan, but it was such a cool race to watch. The guys really put everything they had to get in front. And then going to the grand finals, same exact result. They beat out Trinity and were hunting down Tufts the entire time. And it's super impressive to watch a 3V boat make grand finals of a 2V race, which is really just shows the skill and depth that we have as a team.
Absolutely. Well, give us a preview of the NIRCs coming up this Sunday.
Yep.
Back at the same location, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Lake Quinsigamond. And then, but hopefully a lot of rowers returning, right?
Yeah, so we should be having rowers returning at various points during the week due to return to play. It's a little bit wild on that end. And the upcoming race, NIRCs, is our IRA qualifier, so national qualifier. And although we think we can do a lot better, considering we'll have, you know, more guys coming back, and we'll go from 19 guys out to hopefully only a couple. And we think there we can perform at a level to qualify for nationals, to beat some of the crews we lost to the previous week. But it's going to be a little bit of a scramble. We'll have only a few days to figure everything out, especially because NIRCs typically has tougher competition as well. We get more crews like Hobart coming in to race against as well. But I think we should be able to figure everything out in time. I mean, we were able to have zero, you know, practice time in the lineup and get fifth this past weekend. So I'm sure with a couple days of practice time with everyone coming back, we'll be able to do a lot better.
I know you mentioned before Williams and Tufts are kind of the two crews that have been able to outrace Bates this year, but I mean, and you'll be squared off against them again this weekend, right?
Yeah, so we think we can totally get Tufts this weekend. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Tufts, if you're listening.
Bolts and board material, no.
Yeah, but we had a really, really positive result with a crazy mixed lineup against Tufts. Mm. Although we didn't beat them, we were within striking distance.
Yeah.
So I think we're all super confident after that, to know that even if we're in the same lineup, we can find the speed we need to beat them, even if no one came back. But we know people are going to be coming back and be racing, so we know we're just going to be faster. We're just going to be faster. So we think we can hunt them down and get as close to Williams as we can.
Gotcha. And then, you know, as one of the senior captains, how have you been dealing with this from a leadership perspective when you have so many moving parts like this?
Yeah, so you try and stay positive.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. You try and be patient, try and be positive. And it's not always easy. You know, sometimes I have to, like, be tough on some guys and say, we gotta you know, stay as positive as we can. Don't look at the downside of things. We got to look at what we can do. And at the same time, some people are saying those things to me. You know, in private, I'm definitely not as positive as I sometimes show. And it takes guys in the boat, other seniors, to really help me out and keep the positive momentum going.
If you can don't mind being kind of a bracketologist for IRAs here for the D3 race, what will it take, in your opinion?
It's going to take a monumental effort to win. I don't think it's out of the question in any means. I think we can have the ability to catch Williams and beat them. It's going to be tough. It's going to require, you know, we have 3 weeks after NIRCs to train without races. And I think that'll be a great opportunity for us, especially to find speed, considering the whole crazy having everyone out every now and then for this past few races. So I think we have a lot more speed to find than Williams will. I think we can totally beat Tufts, but it's going to be a tough race. It's going to be a tough race.
In terms of like actually qualifying for it, do you think, are you guys in a pretty good spot though?
Yeah, I think we're going to be in a pretty good spot. IRA qualifiers is a little bit confusing this year.
That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, so it's definitely not straightforward as I'd like it to be.
Right.
We believe at the bare minimum we have to be top two NESCACs, and there should be some at-large bids.
Right.
So if we're fast, and so if we race next weekend and Tufts happens to beat us and Williams happens to beat us, if we're close enough, we should be able to still go. And with those 3 weeks of training, we believe, you know, we can get that extra speed. However, we're still shooting for those top two spots so that we don't have to worry about those being close enough, basically.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense. So we'll keep an eye out for that, certainly. Yeah. So it should be interesting in IRCs. You've raced there before. I mean, it's been a couple years, I guess, your first year, I guess, when you last raced there. But what do you remember the experience being like, you know, compared to New England? Is it pretty similar? Or
I think this year will be pretty similar. In past years, there were a lot of crews that didn't go. So my freshman year, we didn't race against Holy Cross, MIT, who were there this year, who are tough competition. So really, we're only adding Hobart to the race.
Okay.
So it goes from basically a six tough crews to seven. But with the increased speed that we're going to find this week, I'm not too worried. That being said, it is the qualifier, so we do need to show up, we do need to perform, and, you know, get as far ahead as we can.
Great, great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on New England we haven't got to talk about yet?
I'm just super proud of the guys for being able to step up in this crazy situation, you know, perform at a really high level despite all the adversity we're facing. Obviously, the women had a really good day, but I think in some ways we were just as successful finding speed that was running deep within our program. And just doing well under these wacky circumstances.
All right, Steve. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcats. I'm looking forward to what you guys can do a little bit healthier here this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, thank you.
On the tennis courts, the Bates women's team qualified for the NESCAC tournament for the first time since it moved to a seeded format with a 5-4 win over Hamilton Sunday at the Wallach Tennis Center. Senior captain Sydney Burns clinched the win for Bates at number 6 singles. She and fellow senior captain Anna Rosen joined the Bobcast to look back on the win over the Continentals and to look forward to the NESCAC tournament. Well, we got our senior captains here on the Bobcast for women's tennis. Anna Rosen, Sydney Burns joining us. And what an exciting match Sunday. I mean, Sydney, let's start with you. You got to get the clincher there against Hamilton. Take us through your match.
Yeah, it was such an exciting match. Lots of emotion. I won the first set 6-2, and then I was down in the set, the second set 5-3, and then looking over at everyone, it gave me such more motivation to just win the second set, and I won 7-5. It was just such an exciting match, and we knew going in that it was going to be a tight match, but we didn't really know how tight it was. It was just really exciting.
Did you know that if you won, you'd clinch it, or did you find out after?
I kind of found out after. Yeah. I knew that Joanna won her match and that it was four. We had 4 points overall. I didn't really know, but it was really exciting to find out that my match was the one that clinched the final match, yeah.
And Anna, were you playing at that time, or were you able to watch her at all?
Yeah, I was playing at the same time as Sid. I was actually going into my third set when we were waiting for the third set, and Sid won the match. So we knew then that she clinched it, which was really exciting.
And coming in, I mean, it was winner goes to the tournament. What's that dynamic like in your mind, you know, having such a significant match there on what was basically your senior day, right?
Yeah, it was senior day. The energy was really great. We were just going out there to play some good tennis. We just wanted to do our best, really. I think that making NESCACs was definitely a motivator for us, but we had a great start when we were up 3-0 after doubles, so we were looking good in the start.
We had Sydney on a couple weeks ago and asked her about being captains with you. And same question for you, Anna. What's it like being captains with Sydney this year?
It's been absolutely amazing. Sid has been my rock all throughout my 4 years here. I honestly couldn't have gone through it without her. I couldn't have imagined being on the team and going through everything. We were actually on the same recruiting visit before we came, and she's been just the best person ever. She's so sweet, so kind, and we make an amazing pair, I think. And it's, I wouldn't have wanted to be captains with anybody else.
What about this pair makes it so special, Sydney, in your mind?
Like I said, Anna's just so amazing, and just looking over at her during the match especially, she's such a motivating person to watch, and I get inspired by how she really stays in there in all her matches. And she's been playing all of these matches. She hasn't had a break at all, really. And just, she's just such a strong, strong person.
And you keep switching out doubles partners. You had Laura Littlefield this past week, on Sunday at least. What was that dynamic like, working with her?
Yeah, so we haven't played that much. We played together versus Bowden. She has been more of a singles player recently, but just she brings that same energy in doubles, and it's been really great. Yeah, it's been a lot of alternating between players, which I don't mind. I think you adapt pretty quickly to who you're with. Yeah, I really love playing with Salma last time, but playing with Laura is also very awesome.
And then Anna, I believe, the Bates women won all three doubles matches against Hamilton, right? That's a pretty nice way to start the match. I mean, what was it about this team that makes you, it seems like, so strong in doubles this year?
I think we've put a lot of emphasis on practicing doubles in practices this year, because just we know how important it is. Starting up 3-0 in a match, everyone goes into singles with a little bit of a looser mindset. You don't have as much pressure on having to win the matches because you're already up 3 points. So definitely we've been practicing a lot of doubles this year, which has been, I think, a big help.
I'm curious about, you know, NESCAC tournament coming up. What are your thoughts on that? It's the first time the women's team has ever made the conference tournament.
Yeah, it's amazing to hear that this has never happened before in the program, and that it's the first time going to NESCAC ever. We know that we're playing Wesleyan going in, which was a really tough match. Yeah, but we're excited to just have fun out there and do our best.
It was really close when we played Wesleyan in season, so I think we're all going to go out there. We know who we're playing, and yeah. I think it's going to be a really good game. We're going to go out there and grind.
Mm-hmm. And what was Coach's message kind of after you all pulled out the victory there on Sunday?
I think he was just proud. I think there was a lot of emotions in the air. Everyone was really emotional and just happy to be all together and closing out this final in-season, in-conference match, which was really good. I think Coach had the boys won before us, too. So I think Coach was happy and just proud of all of us.
Yeah, 2 5-4 wins on the same day. Pretty exciting day of tennis, right?
It was pretty exciting, yeah. The boys' match was also very fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And going second after the boys, I think, pumps you up a lot.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wow, that was so great. We need to do the same.
Now, did you have any senior day stuff beforehand or?
Yeah, so the girls set up, like, Wallach really beautifully with balloons and flowers and
little senior day gifts. We had posters. They did an amazing job. We really felt, like, just so loved and supported by the team, and it was a really, really nice gesture of them to set all of that up for us.
Great. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on the season so far we haven't got to talk about?
I think it's been an amazing season, amazing one to close off on too. A 5-4 match is, I don't know, it's just very, it represents how
hard
we've
worked.
Yeah.
It's been a really, really long week, honestly. We've had a lot of matches this week, so yeah. I'm just really proud of everyone for full sending it this last match, because I know how tired it is after we came out of finals and just had all of this tennis. We haven't had a break, really, so it's been really good. It was a great way to close off the season.
I was gonna say, yeah, you got to play 2 days in a row. I mean, that's something you got to do most weekends, but you also had the midweek matches, right?
Yeah, yeah. We had five matches in a week. Yeah. Which is the most we've had this whole year.
Probably more than you've played the last 2 years. Yeah, I don't close to
probably,
it.
Probably,
right?
Yeah.
Well, Anna and Sydney, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Congrats again on making the NESCAC tournament here.
Thanks
Thank
for having
you
us.
So much.
The men's tennis team also defeated Hamilton 5-4 on Sunday, and it was junior captain Teddy Koidi clinching the match for Bates at number 4 singles. Bates men's tennis did not have any seniors this year, but Koidi is part of a big junior class that experienced their first full NESCAC season.
Well, Teddy, quite the thrilling final day of the regular season for the men's tennis team there on Sunday. 5-4 over Hamilton. You got the clinching victory. Take us through your match you had there.
Yeah, it was a tough one. It was a really nice day out, so we got to play outside. I won 7-5, 6-4. It was kind of a lengthy match. It was kind of tough because we've had some illnesses on the team recently, like the flu. So I still have the flu, and none of us were at 100%, I would say, or even close to that. So it was great to just pull through and gut it out.
Yeah, so I mean, when you're not feeling well, basically, how do you gut it out? What is that process like?
It was a battle. It was definitely one of the hardest things I've done in tennis. Our assistant coach Elliot Potvin was on the court talking to me and saying, like, you got to be telling yourself that you're so tough. You know, you're crazy. You're an animal. Like, he's like, you just really got to believe and just gut it out. So
were you doing that kind of like, you're tough. You got this.
I was kind of just repeating in my head, like, you know, this is our last match. It's the last match of the season. I gotta give everything I have. And you know, being a captain, like Nick Forrester, he also had the flu. Also, he had 102 degree fever the day before, and we missed our Bowdoin match. And we were watching us play Bowdoin, and we were like really wanted to be out on the court. So we were like, yeah, we're gonna play tomorrow. Leave it all out there. So
does the team in general, because there were no seniors this year, does the team, I mean, must be a big hunger for next year. You probably can't even wait for the fall, right?
Yeah, we didn't have the season we expected. We had some setbacks at the very beginning of the season, and we didn't get as many wins as we wanted to, but we have a lot to build off of for next year. You know, we're not losing anybody on the team, so that's something we talked about a lot.
It was cool to see some of the younger guys get an opportunity out there, like Paul Zhao. He mm-hmm. played pretty well, didn't he?
Yeah, Paul's had some experience in doubles. In Florida, he played for a bit in doubles, but a lot of the freshmen had to step up, and underclassmen,
And so, you know, over the investment season, as Paul calls it, right, throughout the summer, what's going to be your approach to things?
So I think something we talked about directly after the match was just, like, not being set back, just, like, building off what we have right now, you know, getting a lot of match play in over the summer and in short term, like, doing a lot of runs, a lot of lifts, just, like, just getting stronger, but really getting that, like, competitive mindset. So we, like, entering the fall, like, we don't need to be training to get back to where we are right now.
Just in terms of the NESCAC, and this was basically your first real season of experiencing the NESCAC in terms of tennis, so how would you evaluate kind of the competition you faced?
It was about as expected. I know that the NESCAC is pretty elite for tennis in the D3 world, so I when I was being recruited, I looked around the NESCACs, and I know how good some of the teams are, but basically we kind of thought that's like our afterthought was that no team really scared us. Like, there was no team that really thought that was much better than us. Like, we had losses, but we weren't, like, swept off the court, I feel like.
Well, yeah, there were some really close ones, I know. I mean, you had some three-set battles, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, and something that we think that is a big strength of ours is our doubles play. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it, Nick and I were talking, how there was no team out there that the doubles, like, were better than us. We think we have the best doubles in the NESCAC.
And you had a new doubles partner on Sunday, right?
Nick and I played on Sunday. Yeah, we were the little flu team.
We won.
We were kind of laughing in the middle of the match. We were like, oh my god, this is a disaster. Like, we ended up winning. We pulled it through. But yeah, it was great. We never really played before, so.
Yeah, so how do you build that chemistry real quickly, even though you were both sick and had never played together?
Nick and I are really good friends. Yeah. I mean, we have a great connection on and off the court. We hit a lot together, so we know each other's game, our strengths and weaknesses, and we just try to play as simple doubles as possible.
And then you guys played first on Sunday, right? And then the women play after you? Right. Yeah, and so what was it like to see them also get a 5-4 win?
It was pretty cool. They didn't have the clinch that, like, we had. Right. They were actually up 5-0 after...
Yeah.
They're up 5-0 in the beginning of the match, and then they ended up losing 4 of the matches. So it was a different atmosphere, but it was still a really gutsy win for them, too.
Yeah, because in your situation, and there were basically, like, what, 2 matches going on at once, kind of, and so you had to win one of those, right?
Yeah. Basically.
What was the celebration like when you got the victory there?
I didn't expect that. I didn't know I was a clinching match. Okay. So I finished it, and I looked. My team was on the court next to me, and I looked over to them, and they all started running towards me. I guess I was like, wait, what's going on? And I guess I was the clinching match. So it was pretty cool. This happened a lot when we played Trinity. They stormed the court after they beat us, and that really hurt.
Yeah.
To see that, but it was really cool to experience that. Yeah.
Great. What are your thoughts you want to share on either the past match or the season as a whole?
I'm really looking forward to next season. I mean, I think we didn't have the season as we expected, as I said, but I mean, our team is super close. We're so talented. We're really good, and I'm just excited to see what next year comes.
Junior captain, soon to be senior captain, Teddy Coyote, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
On Tuesday, longtime Bates men's lacrosse head coach Peter Lasagna announced his retirement after 22 years as a Bobcat. Including assistant and head coaching stints at his alma mater, Brown University, he's coached men's lacrosse for 40 years. And he took the Bobcats to new heights in 2017 when Bates became the first and so far only team to go 10-0 in NESCAC play, rising at one point to number one in the nation. He also made a huge impact off the field, making sure his players were active in the Lewiston-Auburn community. And today, Peter Lasagna joins the Bobcast.
Well, Peter, first of all, I mean, 22 years here at Bates. I just wanted to know, like, you know, how have you seen things stay the same or perhaps change over those 22 years during your time here as a Bobcat?
I just think I've seen the expectations for the program change, and in all positive ways. I think when I got here, the mission was more sort of narrowly defined. Let's beat some NESCAC teams that we've never beaten before. And you have to remember that it was relatively new. The whole concept of full NESCAC round robin play was a very new concept. It really started with the NESCAC tournament, which was happening right around when I was arriving here. So when I got here, I had to learn that there actually were a bunch of NESCAC teams that Bates had never played or had only played a couple times and never defeated. So that's where we started, just believing and learning that we could beat every team in this league. And so I've just seen sort of gradual increases from there in terms of what we thought was possible and what the expectations were. I mean, I'm a simple man. I came here, Middlebury was winning the national championship, it seemed like every year. So it seemed rational to me to come take a job where one of the teams in the league was doing that. That's what we should aspire to do, just like those were our aspirations at Brown. And so gradually creating more and more of those aspirations, obviously probably peaking with that, you know, some of those 2015, 2016, 2017, obviously teams and a couple of those after, where we went into every season competing for the NESCAC and NCHA championships. And I guess those are probably the biggest changes that I have seen, and the NESCAC's only gotten better. So it's only gotten harder to try to achieve those goals.
You've coached so many players, obviously, during your time as head coach of the Bobcats. Who are some of the guys, maybe just a couple who maybe your favorite stories, perhaps, of players here at Bates who you'll look back fondly on, you know, 10, 20 years down the road?
Yeah, there's a million of them, I would say, but I have to start because I really think it sort of started our era since I've been here were two guys who were in the first class that I recruited in 2005. And that would be Danny Ross and Peter Friedman. And the reason why I start with them, Aaron, is because, again, they were two members, captains in my first recruiting class. So that 2005 team was the first time that I had four classes of people that we had recruited. And we got to the NESCAC Final Four, would beat Bowdoin at Bowdoin, became at that time, and this was actually true for a long time. I don't know when this finally would have snapped, but we were, for a long time, the only NESCAC team that won an away first-round NESCAC tournament playoff game. It just, if you look at the data, just that doesn't happen very often. That's why you want to be a high enough seed to host the game. So for those guys, you know, they believed in Bates. They believed in Bates lacrosse. They believed in Lewiston-Auburn. They believed in me and our staff. You know, they had lots of other options. They were great students and very good players from New Jersey and Maryland, respectively. And they and their classmates decided to jump in with the new Bates coach. And so for them to be able to help move their teammates and the program to a place where we were winning a first-round NESCAC playoff team against a great established NESCAC team, Bowdoin, at their place, and then advancing to the Final Four at Middlebury, the New York Yankees of the league at the time, if you will. Like, I'll never forget those men, and I've stayed connected, not coincidentally, I've stayed very connected to both Danny and Peter, and a number of guys of that era, but of those guys in particular. And then, yeah, I mean, I just think you jump around to, you know, and Ryan O'Connor was an All-American in 2006, was definitely determined to go to an Ivy League school and decided that Bates was the best option, made me look really smart by just being an incredible defender. And he and BJ was the first guy that got drafted by the Cannons, had a little bit of time with them. So those are significant markers. You know, Pat Goggin, the first All-American that we ever had, Aaron Sells, my first captain. And again, yeah, they just, there are a lot of tender moments. That first team, 2015, led by Jack Strain, Connor Henry, those guys, when Charlie and Kyle and that whole class of 2017s were sophomores. I mean, that was significant. I did not think, Aaron, when I came here, when Holly and I came here, that it would take me 15 years to figure out a way to get the Bates lacrosse team into the NCAA tournament. But that was incredibly gratifying. You know, those home playoff games, winning NCAA playoff games on Garcelon Field. I mean, you know, Jack Allard, everything that he did for us. You know, I was going through all this stuff recently, as you tend to do at this time of life, and realized, wow, Jack Allard led us in scoring, I don't know, 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row, this skinny little guy from Ridgewood. So, yeah, and I mean, there are a lot of special people, Clark Jones, Burke Smith, that group, you know, the 2019s, seeing Andrew Small and Matt Kelleher and Stephen Bull show up on senior day when we just beat Conn was really special. And you can imagine, man, since Wednesday night, I've heard from a lot of people, and it was great to remember that we have had lacrosse for other years at Bates besides just 2022. So it was nice to hear from a lot of those people that I just mentioned.
Well, you touched on the 2017 team. I mean, that team remains, I believe, right, the only NESCAC team to go through the regular season 10-0. I mean, what made that season so special? What made that team so special? Obviously, I know the Americans helped certainly with that, right?
It really does help. It turns out we are all better coaches with first team All-Americans at every position, without question. I mean, that recruiting class came together in a way that, you know, I mean, was magical, obviously. And so, yeah, but yeah, you start with, you know, Freddie Albrick and Kyle Weber and Charlie Fay. I mean, quite literally attackman, midfielder, defenseman, first team All-Americans, you know, best at their position in the country, maybe. That's a great place to start. And then the complimentary, I mean, people maybe don't remember that Jake Walsh and Andrew Melvin were also All-Americans. Scott Baber, I think, made all NESCAC or all New England. Clark Jones should have gotten honors that year as well. He had to wait a year. But yeah, those were just grown men who came into here extraordinary athletes. I had nothing to do with that. That was them and their parents. But as you and I have talked about before, when your best players, and in their cases, senior captain leaders, are also your most invested, hardest working players, so that the younger guys are seeing, you know, Kyle Weber shooting at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, and Freddie Albrick and Charlie Fay in the weight room lifting, you know, most nights, and they're the most competitive people at practice. When your best players are your most competitive and hardest working people, and they're incredibly talented, really good stuff happens, you know. And I forget, Aaron, and I think maybe many of us forget, because he wasn't an All-American, Sam Francis was dominant facing off for a lot of those games. And again, I'm going back through things and going, holy smoke, Sam Francis had years where he was 56, 57, 58%. Like, that's fantastic. and the level of competition that he was doing it against. Those guys are special. And they loved the good fight. They just loved the good fight, and like all great lacrosse players do. And so, again, you think of some of those games, you were at most of them, you know, but you think about some of those Tufts Bates games in those days, and Tufts Wesleyan games in those days, I mean, it just couldn't get really much more fun than that. I'll never forget saying to Charlie Fay at one of those ones that we won at Bates. So I can't remember if that was his junior or senior year when we beat Tufts by goal and Charlie scored the game winner from the ground somehow. And in the huddle, I the thing that came to me was, you know, that's got to be one of the best lacrosse games that's ever been played on this field. And Charlie politely interrupted me and said, no, coach, it's the best, most exciting game that's ever been played on this field. So I stood corrected. But, you know, those they were special people and special leaders. And again, for the younger guys, you saw what it meant to them. And so you were excited to come out to practice every day. And yeah, so I will be my version of the 1970, whatever, 71, 72, whatever Miami Dolphins that sit around anytime there's going to be an undefeated NFL team. And root for that not to happen. So I will be actively rooting, including against some of my best friends in the league, to keep us the only undefeated NESCAC regular season team.
Certainly. And then for you, obviously, off the field was very important as well, you know, molding good citizens and whatnot and community service. And what are some things you're really proud of what you're able to achieve with your teams, perhaps away from Garcelon?
Yeah, no, you're right. And those things are super important to me. As you know, I mean, when Holly and I came here, we didn't come here to just work at Bates College. And she obviously worked at the Harwood Center for the first 15 years that we're here. We came to invest in all parts of Bates and in all parts of this community. And so part of why we wanted to live in this community and not in Portland or one of the other great, you know, suburbs of Portland, which are fantastic places to live, but we wanted to send our kids to public school and invest in this community. And so getting connected to all manner of community service things, being in classrooms, a lot of that happened through the Harwood Center. And Holly was obviously super helpful there when she was there. And then with all the people in the years that she's left, we've stayed connected. There are connections to Safe Voices, making young 18 to 22 year old lacrosse playing men aware of issues around surviving domestic violence and learning nonviolent conflict resolution with all the relationships in your life, but you know, especially with your partners. I think that's critically important. Again, I'm trying to make them the best lacrosse players that we can make them, but my mission is to help them become at least slightly better men and prepared to go be agents of change and positive action people out there, global citizens, you know? And so I think that work with survivors of domestic violence matters a lot. That's how you are formed as an 18 to 22 year old. Maybe you'll go out there and be a better father, a better uncle, a better brother, a better advisor to somebody else. So those things are critically important. You know, getting behind the Clark family when you feel good about what you do when players decide to do this stuff on their own. When the Clark family lost Taylor Clark a few years ago and Andrew Small and Matt Kelleher and Cooper Clark and all those guys got together to start a touch football tournament in Taylor's honor and to give those proceeds to Safe Voices. It's super meaningful. Our time at the Good Shepherd Food Bank. The most satisfying thing, Aaron, is to be driving around, you know, driving on the bus or in a van on the way to Webster School or whatever, and hear kids talking in the back about things I don't even know about that they're just doing because they're engaged citizens. You know, I'll never forget, I think I've shared the story with you before, when Jack Allard came in and suggested to me that the whole team get their run in on this fall, whatever day it was, to go support Ben Chin, who there was a rally in support of on Main Street in Lewiston. Again, these are things that you might not think of a lacrosse team being moved to do, but our the work we've done in the last couple of years around anti-racism and social justice, Aaron, again, I've been at this for 40 years. I've never seen lacrosse players have the conversations that these young men have had and that they have initiated. It's incredibly meaningful. It's way beyond just winning winning and losing games for sure. And I'm really proud of the fact that we leave here, I think, with maybe the most diverse men's lacrosse team, certainly in the NESCAC, maybe in all of Division III, but maybe across all three divisions. And again, if you ask me things that I am proud of that we've accomplished here, those are some of the things that I'm really proud of that are going to outlast me. That's who these young men are, right? And they're attracted to Bates and attracted to Bates lacrosse because we say those things matter in the recruiting. So those things will all outlast me.
So what's next for you, Coach?
Well, Aaron, I am trying to, after 40 years of barely being in charge of my own daily schedule. Happily having my daily schedule dictated by this game that I've always tried to honor. So one of the most important things to me, Aaron, through all this work, whether it was as a lowly assistant starting off at Brown University with Coach Starja and all the other great. And that's the other thing I want to just mention is how, of course, I've been fortunate to coach a bunch of the best players in the world and in the history of both Brown and Bates lacrosse. Thank you all for your commitment and for making me look smarter than I am. But I've also gotten to work with just extraordinary assistant coaches and compete against a bunch of the best people who have ever coached this game. So I've had an incredibly, I mean, who gets to do what they love to do for 40 years uninterrupted? Not many people. So I'm incredibly grateful for that. This game literally got into me when I was 6 years old. I don't predict that it will let go. I will find ways to stay connected. I have an opportunity perhaps to work with Corey Hinton, who has been working for a number of years. He does a number of things with indigenous tribes in Maine. I can't imagine many more fun retirement things to try to jump into than that. So I'm going to enjoy being with my wife. I've given 40 years of my life to other people's children and to the game, again, happily and joyfully. But it's time for me to start giving some of that time back to Holly, who so graciously gave hers up with Deacon and Carmen for all this time. So I there's no end to what we're going to do. It's pretty fun to wake up and go, who that we love most do we want to see today? And where in the country and the world do we want to be? And again, how can I stay connected to lacrosse in as many ways as I can without being the coach at Bates? So there's plenty to do, plenty of needs out there in the world. Aaron, I think as well that Holly and I have some skills that maybe we can help with and help lift some people up. So I'm really excited about, it is bittersweet certainly to see this, what's been 40 years of my life, this part of it end, but we're really excited about the next chapters as well.
All right, Peter Lasagna, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast and congrats again on retirement.
Thank you, Aaron. I hope we have created some special Bates lacrosse memories for you as well. You've been right in the middle of many of the best. So thank you for all of your work covering and promoting us.
In other Bates athletics news this week, a pair of women's track and field athletes claimed all NESCAC honors for top three finishes at Saturday's NESCAC Championships. Junior Jill Richardson took third in the 10,000 meters, and senior captain Amanda Kaufman ran her best non-win 80-100-meter hurdles ever, taking third place as well. Meanwhile, the baseball team held senior day at Leahy Field, and the Bobcats split a doubleheader with rival Bowdoin. And the softball team wrapped up its year with a doubleheader split Monday at Southern Maine. A reminder, you can keep up with all your favorite teams at GoBatesBobcats.com and on the Bates Bobcats mobile app. And we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.